Just taken from Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 21. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, in your pew, I guess or chair Bibles, it's page 1225. A prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. As far as the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God.
For those of you that are visiting, or maybe that weren't here last week, we've started a little series of messages and reflections on the vision of our church as it is rooted in the scriptures. The statement that we operate by here at Bethel Church is gathering, growing, and going. Last Sunday, we talked about what it means to be a gathering church. And we reflected together on the different ways that the Lord gathers his people into his community. We said, well, sometimes it's through the work of evangelism, where you tell somebody who doesn't know Jesus about the gospel, and they are convicted of the truth of it and begin a journey that leads them into the kingdom of God. Sometimes it comes by reigniting a faith that has been dormant, where people have a cultural form of faith but not a living and dynamic form within them. And then we talked about the fact that we have children who are born to us, and we say that the Lord has brought them into community, that they are part of the community of faith because God put them into the arms of a Christian mother and Christian father. When we, in the context of our stated vision, use the word growing, we don't use that word in an evangelistic kind of sense. Really, the gathering word is the evangelism word in our vision statement. Growing is really a word for discipleship. It's about our journey together, our journey with the Lord, our journey deeper and stronger and higher. Now, a lot of us have had babies in our lives. Some of us have become parents, you know, and we've held a baby. Sometimes, like me and Joanne, that's our granddaughter Morgan, who is now, what, 4 years old or something? She's three, but she wasn't three there. But some of us have had little brothers or sisters, or our friends have had kids born into their families. We've had friends that have had children. And as we've seen these kids come into families, we've also seen them grow, where they progress. They don't stay as newborn infants. They begin with mother's milk or formula. That's what they eat. That's what they survive on. And they move on. They move on to pablum. And that's a big deal, I remember. She's eating like that. Then it went on to a piece of dry toast, where the kid hangs on to it and gums it up and after a while swallows some of it down and indeed gets some sustenance, some energy from it. And in time moves on to steak and potatoes. That's what happens, right? We progress through all the different food groups. It's like what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3. He not super pleased with the Corinthians at this point, but he said, I gave you milk, not solid food, because you were not yet ready for it. So Paul is saying that there's a time when I, as the apostle, as your theological teacher, your guide in things religious, gave you milk because that was all that you could take at that point. And he says, but you've got to move on from there. You can't be stuck. I mean, how terrible, how weird would it be if the child that has just been born to you never got beyond milk? Said, okay, little one, you know, you're a milk person. Now, some of us at this point are indeed milky Christians because we're young, right? We've just become Christians. We've been introduced to the gospel, and we say, we know that that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that's about all that we know. See, we believe that, but that's as far as we've gotten. And that's okay, it's for a start. But some of us have moved on. Some of us are pablum Christians. And we know quite a few of the Bible stories. We understand some things about Jesus. We know that he was born in Bethlehem, that he died on the cross. And that's true, and that's a good thing to understand. That is part of the journey. You have to move to that point. Some of us have moved on to be toast Christians, where there's something that we can chew on. We can hold on to it, and we can tell each other some of the story. You know what parable that Jesus taught? I can tell you that story. I can discuss with you what the meaning of that particular parable. We know something. We know about Father Abraham. We know about King David. We can maybe, you know, understand when we talk about the covenant of grace and the kingdom of God. We can participate in Bible studies as long as it doesn't get too deep. And that's an okay place to be as a stop on the journey. The problem, I think, is that for a lot of us adults that are here today, even if we have been members of the church for a very, very long time, are dry toast Christians. We've come to a point in our understanding. We know the basic facts. We know the parameters of things. We've graduated from the church school program. We didn't necessarily pay a whole lot of attention, but we went through it. We put in our dues. We did the time. Perhaps even made profession of faith. Say, yep. Yeah, this is who I am. I am a person of this community, and I will say yes to these things that the church says. And then he says, isn't it wonderful that we have graduated, that we've done all the steps, we've jumped through all the hoops, and we are now full professing members of the church, and we can now coast. We don't have to challenge ourselves or allow ourselves to be challenged. We can just stay at this comfortable, easy point and enjoy the ride. But that is not the will of God for us. It's not the goal for the people of God. It's not what the church wants for you, and it's not what the Lord wants for you, because you can't be as strong and as healthy as you can and should be if you only eat toast. In a different context, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, a verse that Jesus himself quoted powerfully, it says, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We cannot stay stuck on toast. Our vision is to grow into meat and potatoes Christians. People who know the Bible stories and the Bible teachings in a deep and mature way. People who know how things tie together in the deep truths of revelation and life. People who know what it means to apply faith and biblical revelation to our daily existence. People who can be examples or guides to others on their faith journeys. That is what we have to strive for. And it is the will of God for us to grow, to move from milk to pablum to toast to steak. In the passage of Scripture that Joanne read for us, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, we are given beautiful and very helpful guidance about the five areas that we should strive toward in order to be the mature and strong Christians who can make a good difference in the world. First thing is we need to grow in our identity. Earlier in this letter of Paul to the Ephesians, people were very clear about their identity, and it was a problem. People said, I am a Jew. People said, I am a Gentile. I have an identity, and that is it. Heritage and ethnicity were the primary descriptors of who people were. And superseding that, overcoming that, not denying, there's nothing wrong with being of a history or being of a heritage or being of an ethnicity. And you can be proud in your people and who you are, but overarching that and overcoming that, superseding that, is your identity and your membership in the family of God. Tribalism, racism, factionalism, all that stuff have no place in the church and should have no place in the hearts of any of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ. We know that this is a problem. You don't need to look far back into history to read the stories of South Africa where the church was divided racially. Or in the United States, where the Presbyterians had a branch that was for the black people and a branch that was for the white people. You have to read the stories of Africa and Rwanda, a country in Central Africa, which went through this terrible, a generation ago, a genocide where one tribe attacked the other tribe. The Hutus and the Tutsis were at each other, and not just with their fists, but with machetes, and hundreds of thousands of people were slaughtered in Rwanda. Did you know that both the Hutus and the Tutsis were almost all Presbyterians? Presbyterian missionaries had gone in there 100 years before and had great success in converting people into the Christian faith and into the Reformed understanding, but they allowed their tribalism to supersede their identity as brothers and sisters together. And we too must not sit on our laurels and think we're so enlightened, because the seeds of racism and the seeds of division, whether it's culturally or socioeconomically or whatever, remain in us, and we must fight that off. Know who you are. You are no pussycat. When you have the Spirit in you, your identity is you are a child of God. The second area, so we're to grow in our identity as Christians over everything else. The second thing that we're to grow in is we are to grow in strength. Not physical strength, not intellectual strength, I'm talking spiritual strength. The Lord says that when we are in tune with the Spirit, when we seize onto everything that He provides for us, we can confront demons. In the name of Jesus Christ, I tell you to depart. And if we say that to the forces of evil, not in our own power, but in the power that is ours in Christ, we have authority over the scariest and the most awful things. We have the power to speak truth to doubters and despisers of God. Because when we speak with God in us and God beside us. We can move mountains if we but dare to believe. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." You say, wow, but what does that mean? Well, one thing it means is that we have a power that is given to us from God that is accessed by faith, and if we are a community of faith, who knows what we can accomplish for God if it's according to His will. So, remember what you are capable of. Remember that when it feels like your strength is fading, God's strength is just beginning. So we've talked about identity. We've talked about strength. The third thing is we need to grow in faith. Faith that is focused on Christ. You know, we use the word faith in so many ways, and sometimes flippantly, you know, I have faith that it will rain again, or I have you know, faith that I will accomplish this. But faith that's focused in Christ is a faith that it's not just about knowing what the future holds, because we don't know what will be. We often use the word "the Lord willing." Say, well, I'm going to do this if the Lord wills it. If the Lord shows that it is His will, it will happen. So faith is not knowing what's all going to happen. We don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. And as we grow in faith, we have confidence in the One whose hand upholds us all. We believe that God can, and we believe that God will make us into His faithful people. So that allows us to have confidence. Even when the obstacle seems overwhelming, when we think we have no chance, if we go into with a strong faith, the Lord is the one who supplies the victory. Fourth thing that we see in this passage is the call to grow in knowledge, to perceive together the deep truth of the mysteries of God. And we think faith is a heart thing. And faith begins in our hearts, but it also is something that the Lord plants in our minds. And he says, be a steward of your minds. Think through the revelation that you have been given so that you can understand it, so that you can explain it, so that you can let people who want to have a clear and compelling explanation of all these things of the truth, that you may be able to explain for the purpose of understanding. We need to grow in our knowledge. And finally, the fifth thing is we need to grow in love. We need to have an affection for the Lord, that we need to be in love with Jesus Christ. We need to, and then something we struggle with, that it sounds so girly, you know, that, and some people have said, well, Christianity is becoming a woman's religion because you have to be in love with Jesus. And we think, well, I'm a guy. I don't want to be in love with a guy. I'm a pretty heterosexual kind of person. Jesus is my Lord. And I need to have the affection for him that is appropriate for a man to have for he who is my captain, who is my Savior. We need to have love for all of God's people because we are a family together. We are brothers and sisters. And that love extends to the world where we have real concern for people that are hurting, people that are broken, people who are marginalized or discriminated against. Because when we are a community that is strong in love, then we are a community that is most like God. God is love. God created this world in love. He upholds it, sustains it in love. He equips us to be part of it because he loves the world that he made. And we need to be strong, and we need to be knowledgeable, and we need to be identifying ourselves with the kingdom. We need to be in love with the Lord and all the works of his hands. How do we do this? Well, we do it through prayer. As Joanne read this passage, did you note that what she read was a prayer? Paul says, this is my prayer, and then he prayed his prayer. And if we want to be strong, if we want to grow, if we want to be that kind of community, we have to be a community that is tapped into the spiritual strength of the spiritual disciplines. And God says to us that if you come to me and you talk to me and you submit yourself to me, then I will bless you with growth that will send you out. We are committed. We have a committed response to the call of God. If we join together in community, it says in Scripture that a cord of three strands is not easily broken. And you can do things all by yourself, be a lone wolf, you know, a solo secret agent, and you're only as strong as you are by yourself. But when you unite with brothers and sisters and you make the community part of your response, then we are all braided together. And there is tremendous strength in that community. We need each other. I need you. And we all need each other. It is through the grace of God. It is the gift of God. It is the call of God. And it is the accomplishment of God when we experience growth. So these five things, Let's grow in our identity together. Let's grow in strength. Let's grow in faith. Let's grow in knowledge. And let's grow in love. And if we do this, if we commit ourselves to being obedient to the prompting of the Spirit, and we grow as God has said to us that He wants us to grow, then God will say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servants." And we will be ready to be useful in His hands to bring blessing to the church and the world. So let us grow together. And be the people and be the church that God envisions and calls us to be. Amen? Father in heaven, help us. You've laid down this challenge to us in Scripture to be a community that grows in this way. Our natural tendency in our sinful state is to not want to do that, to be content with an immature level. But don't let the devil have that victory in us. Overcome that resistance and make us grow in all these ways, because that is your will. Amen.